Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
All right, Reese. So this is our first episode.
We don't have like an intro yet, do we?
We have an intro, but well, like for the show or like intro to music?
Let me freestyle one. Let me try one. Okay,
go for it. Yeah.
Hello out there, and welcome to the Danny and Rihanna Show. Oh, I have an idea.
What?
What if I say the Danny, and then you say and Rihanna Show?
Cool.
And then you can take the
intro.
Wait,
so you say Danny?
I say the Danny, and you go and Rihanna Show, right?
Okay. Yep.
Okay, we're leaving all this in, by the
way. Let's do it.
Okay. Hello out there, and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show.
I am Danny's wife, Rihanna Manuel Pena.
And my name is Danny Pena. I'm Rihanna's husband. I was going to say wife. Husband.
You can be my wife if you want, you know, no labels.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, this is our new and exciting podcast. We're doing audio and video. So if you're watching or listening and you want to check out the other side, please go find us on your YouTube or your podcast service of choice. Mm-hmm. And we are starting a new show to talk about all kinds of things. I came up with the tagline, Mom and Dad Finding Nerd Life Balance. So that's what we're going to do here. It's going to be some work, some play, some family stuff, some life experiences. It's just a mixed bag.
Here's the thing. We're not really used to this. We're used to recording our shows.
Of course.
Like what's good games and Gamertag Radio, right? We're used to that. But we're not used to recording our own show at the house.
Yeah, we're in our dining room right now.
And look, future, the format is probably going to change. A lot of things are going to change from now. Because like I remember listening to my old episodes. And it sounds totally different than now.
So it's always rough at the beginning.
Yeah, it's always rough. But I know this is not going to be rough. We just don't have the format locked down 100% just yet, but we will. We will slowly. Yeah. I'm excited for the future.
We're going to test and learn. And this will be an organic thing that forms with your help and your feedback.
Yes.
And, you know, we'll change stuff along the way. It's all good.
And if people have questions, they can send us questions. We could do a whole listener, viewers episode where they're going to ask questions.
Sure. But before I get to asking people for questions, they don't even know us yet. So
that's true.
How about let's spend some time getting to know each other? Does that sound good?
Well, we did that way back, but we could do it again.
We can always do more.
Let's do more.
So format of this episode, we'll do a little back and forth Q&A with each other, and you know, at the end maybe get into some of the reasons why we're here.
Okay. Who wants to start first?
I would love to start.
Okay.
So my first question for you, Danny.
Oh my God. Okay, go.
You've lived in a lot of places.
Yes.
Mostly very big cities, very happening spots, Miami, New York, LA. What would you say is your favorite place in the world?
In the world? Wow, it depends.
Okay. Break it down for me.
Depends. Like, I love the Dominican Republic. Because I also lived there. You forgot to mention that. I lived there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Love the food. Love the people. Love the music. Mm. Love the tropical vibes. Love my fried fish with totones. For those who know, that's fried plantains. But besides that, like I really, I used to love Miami a lot. I think it just gotten way too crowded for me. Mm. Way too many people moving down over there. I'm like, it's not for me anymore. But during my youth, loved Miami. Didn't like the hurricane, so.
Well, yeah.
Who likes hurricanes? I went through a lot of bad experiences with hurricanes. Don't want to go through that ever again. But New York, the thing that I love about New York is when I was over there, I would always walk around the city, go discover restaurants or bars, just sit down at a park. Like I will go a lot to Central Park, and Central Park is pretty big. So I'll go to like different parts and just sit there and just think. I'm always thinking about what's next. What, you know, is it an idea? Is it a move or something? So that was actually the place where I was thinking, should I move to LA?
Mm.
It was in not Central Park. Yeah, it was Central Park. Yeah. Was it Bryant Park or Central Park? One of those two parks. I sat down, thought about it. And I hit you up and said, let's go to LA.
We'll get into that story in another episode.
Another episode. But LA, I wasn't a fan of LA.
Mm-hmm.
Coming over here, I will always go to like downtown, go to like the tourist areas.
For events and stuff.
Sure. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, let me just stay here for a week and hang out. Yeah. Never.
Because who goes to a city to hang out in the suburbs unless you have family there?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but my niece also moved over here with her mom a long time ago. So, you know, every time I'll come over here, her mom will take me to like a restaurant that I've never seen before. I'm like, oh, this is cool. But I was like, I don't know. LA is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, when we moved here, it completely changed my mind about LA. Like, I love LA. It's not only downtown or Hollywood. Like, there's a bunch of other places to hang out. Love Van Nuys. Love Burbank. I just love the vibe here.
Yeah.
Love the weather. The thing that I do miss is me walking around the city, discovering restaurants. Yeah. I kind of do that.
LA's not as walkable as New York.
It's not walkable, but I kind of discover restaurants and stuff like that when like social media or us ordering online or something. Or we're like, hey, let's see what's near us. And we just go and, yeah. But I don't have a favorite. It's more of like, it all depends on what's happening at the moment, like when it comes to like weather, location.
Different seasons of your life. Yeah.
Like I went to Sweden. And I almost moved actually to Europe a couple of years back. And I love Sweden. I was like, wow, this place is pretty. Yeah. I didn't like the food, but I loved the vibe, like the city, the people that I met locally. And I really, really enjoyed it over there. So how about you? Do you have any locations where any favorites or places that you thought you were never going to like, what, you know? And then it changed your mind or what?
Well, that's a tricky one for me too, because I've also lived in many places, not, you know, the biggest cities in the US like you, but I was born in Richmond, Virginia. Spent just a couple minutes there as a baby, basically. Then my parents moved to Cleveland, then down to Cincinnati where I grew up. Mm-hmm. So I say I'm from Cincinnati because I was there from, you know, early childhood through high school. Then I moved to Pittsburgh for school, for college. I was there for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then in Seattle for 5 years. And now in LA for 3. And of all of those places, you know how they say like home is where the heart is?
Mm-hmm.
It really is true. Like at each of those stages of my life, where I was my favorite place, right? Like growing up at home, of course, home, Cincinnati, that's where all my family is. All my first friendships were made there. Like that's going to have a special place in my heart forever. And that's where I go back when I go back home, quote unquote. But my mom now lives in Vegas. So on vacations and like family holidays, a lot of times we're in Las Vegas. I don't have friends or family there. It's just my mom and her husband. But Cincinnati is a place that I love dearly and I would never live again. I just don't want to go back there. You know what I mean? And when I moved to Pittsburgh, I didn't know anyone. I went there for school for my freshman year. There was one other girl from my high school who went as well to University of Pittsburgh, but we didn't stay close. So it was a fresh start, clean slate. I got to figure out who I was in that whole college era. from scratch pretty much, and I loved it. Some of my best friends I made in college, and Pittsburgh will always remind me of those times. And that's where I started really developing as a choreographer, because I'm a dancer, and I danced all through high school. I did all of the dance competitions and everything since I was a little girl. But in college is when I started creating dance. And that was a really pivotal moment for me. At one point, we even made our own show. Like, we put on a production, like rented out a dance theater. We figured out how to sell tickets. We figured out how to claim tax liability for it, like everything. And we called the group that we made, my friends, Greg and Allison and Brittany and myself, called Grab Productions, because we literally put on a dance production. So that will always be the place where I did my first event. You know what I mean? And so Pittsburgh will never, it'll never be off of the list of favorite places, because it's where a lot of the things that I hold dear started. You know, choreography, leadership, like starting projects, like putting on shows, doing events, like all of that happened for me in Pittsburgh in college. But then I moved to Seattle and I worked at Xbox and I had my dream job. So it's hard to pick, but truthfully, I mean, for different categories, I'd say for experiences, Pittsburgh, because college, right? Like, there's some unforgettable things that happened. For food, I'd actually say Seattle, because I love Asian food. I love Thai food, especially.
Seafood is amazing.
Seafood's amazing. And my absolute favorite restaurant in Seattle, Petty Rosso, is actually gone now, down in Cap Hill, where I used to live, Capitol Hill. But I would say food, my favorite city is Seattle. But for like life experiences and things to do, like the day-to-day, it's LA. Like, because okay. Similar to you, I did not ever expect to live here. And I thought it was a bougie place, or everybody was fake in Hollywood or whatever.
Yeah.
But we have so many friends here and have met so many amazing people. And there's so much opportunity. And any kind of thing you want to get into, like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pop up, or you want to go sit in the park and see a bunch of dogs off leash and pet a few of them while you sit there with your baby. Like, everything that you could possibly want to do, you can do here. And yeah. I can't imagine living anywhere else now. So LA is now a favorite. It's really hard to choose.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a tough question.
It is tough. And like, let's say we ever move again, where are we going to go? Like, I don't know.
Dude, no idea.
That's something that I have to like really think about. Like,
probably another country, honestly.
Probably. I love where we are right now.
Yeah.
It's been the best couple years now of our lives.
So. It has.
And it's going to get better.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Well, do you have any questions for me?
That was my question. I thought it was your turn.
You can't Uno reverse me like that.
So I know you mentioned that was your first event that you created, right?
We called it Grace, Rhythm, Aesthetics, and Beauty.
So my question is, was that your first business as a child? As a young adult?
Yes and no. It's the first thing I did, like, to raise money for continued services, right? Like, yeah. our dance production company. Mm-hmm. It's not the first time I had a leadership role in an organization. So in high school, I was part of a diversity, equity, and inclusion group. Mm-hmm. Me and the four other Black girls in the school. So that was it.
That's it. Everybody else was white.
Or other. Right. I don't want to say other. That sounds wrong. But they were non-white women as well. Okay. Young women. Mm-hmm. But we were the only four Black girls that got together and formed this group. And that was my first time taking a leadership role and like creating something new. We did this with Dr. Moffett, who was an administrator at our school at the time. She's incredible. One of my first mentors. And we did programming. We did some educational stuff for, you know, students in our school. And it was really eye-opening for me to find out that this was a lane that I could be in, or at least a piece of what I do has always been part of DE&I, which was really cool. And I actually repeated that sort of venture almost everywhere else I've been. Like I did so in college. I was part of Black Dance Workshop in college and became went choreographer, eventually became a vice president. And then in several of the companies I worked for, like I started women affinity group called ePlay at a company I had worked for in Seattle. I did similar work helping to advise people at Xbox while I was there. So like DE&I has always been an area where I've created things, but yeah, I think the Grab Productions is the first like pseudo company or proto company I've ever started.
Cool.
Yeah. I know you have had business as a youth.
I had several.
Yeah.
Yeah. One, my first one was charging people to play with, play games. So like my Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis games, I would charge them every 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour. It depends. Some people I'll rent the games. I'll let them rent it, but I made pretty good money. Nobody was doing that. This was like early 90s. I was like, oh man, was it like 14, 15 years old? I don't remember. It was like, I was in my teens.
That was in DR?
In DR, in Dominican Republic. Yeah, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
My second one, and this was like something that I never told you about this.
Ooh.
I used to sell mixtapes. So we will do mixtapes.
Okay, wait, I burned CDs and stuff, sure, but I didn't.
No, like, no, we were actually records. Records. It's not burning CDs or anything like that. So we would create a mixtape. My cousin and I will stay up all night, barely any sleep. We'll go to Kinko's, print out the cover in real time, just put everything, record, whatever. Like we would have a master and just press play and record. It was like that. And we will sell it for $5. And we did a double mixtape. We were charging $10.
Ooh.
And yeah, a bunch of people will buy it. We had freestyle in the intro of side A.
Huh.
It's like tapes. And in side B, we had like another freestyle, somebody we know or like my cousins or something like that. Even Rosalyn, my cousin Rosalyn,
yeah,
did one. She was like 14 years old.
Wait, rhyming. She was rapping?
Yeah, I have the tape somewhere. And,
oh my God.
And that was the tape that sold the most because everybody wanted to hear her so bad. Like, really? Rosalyn?
I know. Cousin? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we sold a lot. Even the security guards will buy, the security people from the school, they will buy our tapes every month.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we would do that. We'll go to like the local malls in Miami, sell tapes. I'll stay by Specs or Blockbuster Music. And I see, and you could tell who's into hip hop or not. Like, okay, into hip hop. I see the Wu-Tang shirt or Tupac's or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll go up to them like, hey, yo, mixtape, really? Yeah, yo, come to my car.
See, you're that guy in the mall that I would always be like, excuse me, no. Why are you talking to me?
But here's another thing too. Fast forward years later, early 2000s, we did an album. My cousin and I, we did like an EP. And now we're in South Beach. Nobody was doing this at the time.
Mm.
We're in South Beach. We parked. We're outside of the car. We had the music playing. And we see people walking. Like, hey, my man, come over here, man. Check this out. We'll play the music. We're like, hey, are you a fan of Keras One? Are you a fan of this? And he's like, yeah, yeah. Yo, check this out. Sometime my cousin will freestyle on the spot. And they're like, oh, man, yo, I got to buy that mixtape. And they'll just buy it right there.
Give them a little sample.
But yeah, but we'll play the CD inside of the car, and they're outside. They're like, oh man, this is so. And yeah, that's how that was my different businesses. And then after that, I started doing like promotion for companies, for music labels and events, music artists and everything. So, but yeah, that was a very awesome experience. That honestly, that experience helped me, and we could talk more about my story later, but because I did like newspaper stuff, a whole bunch of stuff. But all that helped me to where I'm at today, being a pretty good promoter.
Yeah.
I'm good with marketing in my own way, like, and other things. And also being social with people. Like,
yeah, you're a people person.
People person. It helped me so much to talk to people and make them feel more comfortable and open up when we do interviews or when I do business with, like, tons of stuff. So I thank my youth for that, So now I know that people are going to be asking, okay, you're a podcaster, Danny's a podcaster, you have your own shows. Why are you doing your own, why are you doing this? Why are you doing a show together?
Especially now.
Now, years later.
Well, not only that, but now that we have a little one.
And also with a child.
In the house.
Because they're going to say, you guys are busy.
True.
With work.
Yes.
With your content creator / influencer. I don't know what you want to call it. But
side,
you know,
stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that. Plus a child, newborn.
Parents, yeah.
And now this.
And now this.
And other stuff that we're planning to do too. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Can't why? Stop, won't stop.
Why?
The why for me is for a very long time, I doubted my voice. I doubted my perspective. I didn't believe that it was important to share my thoughts on anything. I've been through periods of depression and have lived for a very long time with anxiety. And there are many moments where I get in my own head and think that nobody wants to hear what I have to say. And I would say imposter syndrome is maybe the closest thing I could call it, but it would be to the point where I would sit in a meeting, let's say at work, and I would think, oh, that's not a good idea. We're gonna regret that because I know something else that's happening that's going to impact our decision right now. But they probably already know it, so why would I even bring it up? I'm just going to sound silly. And I wouldn't say it, and then it would happen. And I've obviously gotten to the point where I've recognized it's good to speak up. It's good to put my perspective out there. It's good to trust my voice and make sure that I let it be heard when I can. Because when I can speak not only for myself, which is so important, but also for people who don't have that opportunity or that ability. And the second part of that, speaking up for others, is really what's driven me to take up more space in all of the places that I occupy, because it is a privilege to be where I am. It's a privilege to be here in LA. It's a privilege to have a job. It's a privilege to, you know, be in a stable relationship, have a house, be a mom, like all of these things. But it's also a privilege to be able to speak on all of that and to tell people like, hey, what is it like being a parent playing video games? Or what is it like being a Black woman in the gaming industry? Or what is it like, you know, traveling with the kid? Like all of these different things that I'm learning and have, you know, been challenged with and I'm trying to master. It's good to share because other people are going through these things too. And if any of this is helpful to somebody, then it's a must for me because all I've ever wanted to do with my life is help people. So that's the why for me. There's a lot of stuff that I've been able to share in What's Good Games and all of the different platforms that have had me as a guest, but I've never had something of my own where I could share whatever I want. And this is a big moment for me. I got a little emotional for a second there, but yeah, I need to let my voice be heard more. And this is a way that we can do that because we have the opportunity. We have the privilege.
You know, there's reasons why I want to do this. One, I've been doing this for so long with Gamer Tag Radio, with other shows I had. That one only lasted like a couple of years.
The PSO?
PSO Radio compared to Gamer Tag Radio. But I just want to do something different. You know, talk about other things. We could talk about games. Of course, we're going to talk about games.
We love games.
But we could talk about travel, life. It's not a news show. Like, no. I don't want people to think that. Like, we're probably going to have conversation or whatever we feel like talking about, of course, that maybe is related to news, I guess. I don't know. But that will come once in a while. But I think the majority is I just want people to hear what we have to say about a lot of things. You know, we could talk about our personal lives.
We will.
Talk about that. And I just love talking to you. I know every time when we have a show and you come as a guest.
You mean like, on Gamer Tag?
On Gamer Tag Radio. People are like, damn, you guys got to do a show together. You guys are phenomenal together. I'm like, you know what? That is true.
I tend to agree. We are pretty phenomenal.
Yeah,
together.
I'm like, we should do that. And we just launched this show. I mean, right now, I know the average person see this and be like, okay, what's this show is about?
Or who the heck are they?
This is more, the first two episodes more like an intro. Introduction is more about us.
Yeah.
Then after that, we're going to have topics. We're going to have things to talk about. Movies, TV shows.
Travel experience,
cooking. We could talk about like stuff that we would love to eat. Like we could talk about food.
We should put a pin in this, but we should talk about how the hell do you cook when you have a newborn?
Yes, we could definitely.
Which we're still figuring out.
We still figure that out. It's been complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been cooking. It's not like we've
survived.
Yeah, we survived. We've been cooking. It's just it's complicated, you know. But
that's a good topic.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's people that maybe feel getting like the same type of experience together. As a viewer, listener, you guys could hit us up.
Yeah, we're going to set up mailbox stuff.
Yeah, we could talk about that. Like, oh my God, so-and-so.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll ask us questions about newborns. Maybe somebody's having a baby.
Well, we are definitely not medical experts.
We're not medical experts, but more of like stuff that helped us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not everybody's going to do exactly what we did. But
please don't.
But, you know, just advice. Like,
sure.
When I found out that we were going to have a child, I had all my friends, you know, and all of them, some of them had kids recently, some of them been
not
20,
so recently.
20 plus years.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We'll talk about all that stuff.
We talk about all that stuff. Yeah. So, you know, and we have drinks, we hang out. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I do too.
But the exciting part of it is we don't know what's going to happen from now in the future. So the first two episodes is about us. Everything else, we're going to have different topics. So,
well, all of it will be about us, to be fair.
Of course, but we're going
to
have topics.
Getting to know you stuff.
Getting to know
we're
you.
Just, we're just cracking the book open right now. So for those who haven't heard Danny or I on our individual shows, gives you a chance to get to know us a little bit. And hopefully we can get to know you all.
Yes.
Whoever's watching or listening, please watch and or listen.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And for those who are watching on YouTube, subscribe. That will help us out a lot.
Like, share, subscribe.
Like and subscribe. And podcast. If you're listening on Spotify, I know on Spotify they have like, we could create polls.
Okay.
People can send questions through there to Spotify too, and we could read it.
Cool. You know, yeah, we can get into some
of that. There's different ways. We're going to have a whole section for you guys to send us questions.
So. First things first, we got to lay some track down in front of us and
figure out if
you're interested.
Yeah, we're trying to figure this thing out. So,
yeah,
but I'm excited. I love the logo. I love
the
vibes.
We're still figuring all that out in real time right now. Obviously, when you're hearing and or listening to this, you've seen the logo, right? You've clicked on it. But where we are right now, the beginning of the year, we haven't finalized everything yet. So it's a very exciting stage.
But we will. We will. Very, very soon.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else?
I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Because, I want to thank you for obviously our whole life. But with this venture in particular, I have told you for a long time how much I wanted something of my own. And I am so happy that I have you to figure this out with. And I don't feel like I'm doing it 100% alone, but I do feel like it's something that is mine. So thank you. Thank you for being my partner.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of fun. So, and thank you for doing this with me.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll be back next week with another episode.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening and watching. Please let us know the vibe.
Yeah.
Right now, first episode, we're just getting used to this.
We're winging it.
But I'm having fun. All right.
That's important.
Yeah. All right. Till next time. Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.